I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast, everybody. How you doing today, Madeline?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I've noticed my body's kind of itchy.
Really?
This is like not related to what I intended to talk about today, but I feel it's worth bringing up. I wonder if I have some kind of food allergy that I never knew about, because I just feel like my body and face, they're not very itchy, but they're maybe more itchy than they should be.
What have you had to eat so far today?
I mean, everything. Well, I mean, today.
You had everything to eat so far.
No, but I eat, like, there's nothing that I don't eat, so it would be very difficult to determine what I was allergic to.
Like, when did the itching start?
I get it, too. I felt like my face felt itchy this morning, but that was before I ate anything.
Did you eat anything before you went to bed?
I went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place and ate true shit ton of sushi.
So you ate a lot of poison. you went to an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet?
It wasn't a buffet. They bring it to your table.
Oh, okay. So it's like legit. It's like good sushi.
Oh,
but
it's great.
Really?
It's great. It's called Midori Sushi.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's great. For like $30, you can feel like a true millionaire.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it's great, except for one of the rules of the sushi bar is you pay for anything you don't finish to sort of prevent people from ordering a thousand things and eating two rolls and then leaving. But I overordered and I had a full like albacore roll, and it wasn't even like it was like real food. So it was hard to just sort of mindlessly eat. It was like just a full big hunk of fish, and we wrapped it in a napkin and put it on a high chair in the corner of the restaurant.
Okay.
So I'm really outing myself. I might get a bill from Midori Sushi in the mail.
You would deserve it if you got
it.
But we're going to hope for the time being that they're not following this podcast about hypochondria and medical scares through the UCB. Did you consume much of the soy sauce?
A lot of soy sauce.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's it, because I get itchy all over my chest and neck and face when I eat a lot of like wheat based substances.
Oh.
And I know that soy sauce is tamari maybe is the is the gluten free, or is that the teriyaki one? There's a couple of sauces
that are tamari is in soy sauce.
Okay, so there is a wheat free soy sauce substance that maybe you should give that a try next time, because honestly I've never been able to taste the difference. I think they taste identical to each other.
It's
also
just
don't
basically
know what...
a black liquid salt.
Exactly.
So it kind of doesn't really matter what it is. That is really interesting. I bet that is what it is, because I do feel like sometimes I get itchy when I eat a lot of lot of bread, but I've sort of eaten a lot of bread for my whole life.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it is that we've just consumed too much wheat and gluten in our lives. It's not so much that we're allergic to it; it's that there's just too much of it running through our system.
Too much.
In that same way, like where you only need milk for so many years of your life before you're no longer like a growing human being. We probably just don't need that much wheat in our system anymore.
And so I went to the gym, and then on my way home, I was crazy itchy. So it was probably all of that soy sauce just leaking out of my face.
Yeah, no, you
itching my whole body.
You sweated black liquid salt.
Yeah, but this is another thing. Does this ever? This is pretty specific, so I don't know if this particularly would happen to you, but I often eat so many Goldfish crackers that it makes my lips chapped for like a week.
No, that's never happened to me. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's never happened to anyone else.
I would actually, if this has happened to you, please tweet at us. Yeah. Definitely dying is our Twitter handle. Yeah. I would love to know. I genuinely would love to know if this has happened to anyone else. Because basically, my lips were chapped for pretty much all of 2015. Like, and I think part of it was too many goldfish.
Right,
but then part of it was I recently, have you used those lip balms that are like, probably not because you're not a girl, but those lip balms that are shaped like a little ball. You know, like Alexis is nodding. It's they're in the checkout of Target. They look so fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I recently discovered there's a class action lawsuit against those lip balms because they've been making people's lips chapped.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't shock me because I mean they're so fun to use.
They're so fun to use.
Yeah, I mean anything you use too much of, you then just become addicted to, right? Like, I mean, isn't that the thing with chapstick? Is that is that after a while you just come to need chapstick again?
Yeah.
And chapstick's not even fun. So I would imagine
it's fun.
You think it's fun putting chapstick on?
Yeah, I love it.
Like the act of putting chapstick on makes you happy.
Fun. Yeah. Because it's like I don't know. You just get to it's like a fun little activity.
It's a little
punctuation mark in your day.
I don't think of it as a punctuation mark in my day. I think of it as an opportunity to make my face feel greasy.
I think that's a gender divide. And also gender is a construct and all of that is bullshit. But I have hardly ever met a boy who thinks who likes putting like a balm on their face.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, I've never met any boys that like putting balms on their face either.
But I do want to call out, I feel that Goldfish, which I still love, but Eos Lip Balm, I think that's the name of the brand, which I don't love. I think collectively they're responsible for my year of chapped lips.
Huh.
But while we're talking about chapped lips, I do want to give a little shout out to, we're not sponsored by anybody, so this is just a true free advertising for Waxaline.
Okay.
It's like you can get it at Whole Foods, and it's like a non-petroleum based, like sort of Vaseline type product. Mm-hmm. And I've been using that as a lip balm, and it's been the best. And it's continued to work because it doesn't have like those chemicals in it that like end up like stripping your face of all of, you know, it's like its natural juices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh.
So Waxaline,
okay,
it's got a little B on the front. It's fun.
I mean, since we're on the subject, just because since we're not sponsored by Waxaline, we don't want to create a divide within the lubrication community. Yeah. I'd like to give a quick free shout out to Vaseline, which is still number one for sticking a thermometer in your butt. So
that's true.
Yeah, shout out to Vaseline. Shout out to Waxaline. And shout out to Gasoline, which is keeping our automobiles running for at least my lifetime.
Yeah, all of the leans.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Hashtag fish lips at our Twitter if you're going through a similar phenomenon involving chapped lips from goldfish
from
crackers.
Like you have to eat about a half a bag in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for it to reach the critical mass that the saltiness of it will make your skin rough and dry.
Rough and dry. Okay. How many goldfish crackers are making your skin rough and dry, folks out there?
Get at us.
And what was the – was it Eos? Was that the name of
I think, Eos.
Okay.
Yeah. So tweet shame on you, Eos.
Shame on you, Eos.
Or Eos hashtag chaplips 2015.
Right. Yes. Or if you feel just the opposite, let's give us maybe a Captain Eos in honor of the Michael Jackson video from back in the day.
Yeah. So have we said a bunch of random hashtags enough? Do you think we've said enough hashtags?
Maybe one more.
Okay. Hashtag Tim Kalpakis.
Hashtag Tim Kalpakis is in the house. That's our guest for today. So since he's here, since we're here, let's get rolling with it.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
He's a member of the Birthday Boys.
He's the Birthday Boy.
He's the Birthday Boy. He's celebrating a birthday today. Actually, Tim.
Happy birthday,
Tim. Actually,
in
a couple of days.
Turning
33 away. In a couple of days.
Wow. That's the Jesus. That's Jesus
Belushi, year? Farley, Doug Kenny, all the big ones.
27's another one, right?
That's
the
cool rock stars. Yeah. This one's more fat, funny people. Jesus was fat and funny.
Jesus is the fat and funniest.
How sad, though, that we'll reach a certain point in our lives where it's not fun to be like, people died at this age because people just will be dying all
right,
the time.
Just all of your friends.
Our friends will all be dying. Yeah.
Like, did you know my neighbor died at 90? Yeah.
I know. People will be like, ooh, 87. That's a big death year. Like everyone in my bridge club died.
Yeah, it's a big year. Yeah. All the bridge people. Yeah.
102. Everyone who's alive is dead at 102. So let's complete Tim's intro.
Yeah. Tim, I think he covered it. He's a member of the Birthday Boys.
He's a Birthday Boy.
One of six members of the Birthday Boys. Did I get that number right?
That's
six
correct.
Birthday Boys. You've seen his work on Conan. You've seen his work on Comedy Bang Bang. You've seen him all around town, just being a good guy.
This is good. I got to get you on my IMDb page. Yeah. To tell us his guests, because they're not there.
it's Tim Kalpakas, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So we like to start things off with just a quick question, just to kind of get a feel for our guest. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, 1 being you never think about it ever, 10 meaning it's constantly on your mind.
Yeah, how much do you fear afraid. It? Yeah.
I would say that I'm a chilled out 10.
Oh, you're chilled. Nice. Yeah,
because I don't know that it's fear. I don't think I'm afraid all the time. Mm-hmm. But I do probably like once a minute think like if this podcast appearance doesn't go well, it's like I'm going to be dead soon, so I shouldn't worry about that. There's bigger things to worry about.
Right.
It's a constant, it's almost a positive thought to just be like, I'm probably going to die.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
I'm probably going to die. Well, so far I beat 27. I'm a cool rock and roll guy and didn't die at 27. Let's see how 33 goes. I'm a comedian. So I don't think I'm afraid of it. And I don't, I definitely am afraid of it. But it's not a palpable fear. It's not an anxiety.
Yeah.
It's more of a ennui.
Oh, guys, you're bored with life?
Yeah.
By a chilled out 10, you mean that you think about death all the time, but you're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think that's like, because I feel like I'm the opposite, where like I can intellectually appreciate that, like, you know, I'm a small, tiny dot on a little, tiny planet, and like my life is very short, but I am incapable on a daily basis of not thinking I'm truly the most important person in the world.
Yeah. No, I it's great when you are, if you see like a huge group of people at a Super Bowl or something like that, and then you, like when you visually see how many people exist, it's a nice feeling, I think.
Yeah. I wish I could absorb that, because I feel like I can't, sometimes I can't let myself off the hook of like, I'm like, you don't deserve to relax into knowing that you're just a human being.
Well, Madeline, in fairness, though, you are responsible for the good time of everyone at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have a lot
true.
Of time to think about you.
Yeah. Well, you always put on the halftime show.
Exactly.
Always put on the halftime show.
You love doing it.
That's right.
They don't have the heart to tell you to stop. Yeah.
I mean, I'm always, every year, I'm kicking myself for telling them I'll do another halftime show. But afterwards, it's just that rush. You can't beat it.
No, you can't.
I mean, I guess at the same time, thinking about all the people, it does then put pressure back on you to be like, I don't want to be like these chumps. Where like, I want to have people remember me, or I want to make a mark. So then, I guess that does worry you after a few minutes of feeling nice. Then you're like, well, I should do something.
Yeah.
I shouldn't watch the Super Bowl. I should put on the halftime show.
Right.
Now, do you feel like you will ever reach a point of accomplishment, or maybe you have already reached this, where you will feel comfortable dying? You know, like that point where you're like, like when people go, mostly as a joke, like, well, I can die now. Yeah, I ate a great ice cream cone or whatever, you know, but like the real version of that, like, what would that look like for you?
Well, I've already eaten all the ice cream cones that I intend to eat. I don't know. I hope so, right? Because it's not tied to any career thing or any personal goal. Mm. So it would be nice to, I mean, I'm trying to be there now. That's like, it would be a great thing to accomplish early is to feel like that.
Like you could just go at any minute.
Like you could just go at any minute. And then just start putting yourself in dangerous situations.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're having a skydive wedding, so that's that makes sense right there.
Yeah. I want to really feel alive.
Yeah.
In that last moment.
For the last couple of seconds you're alive. Now, do you think that if you could think back on your life, mm-hmm. based on all the things that have happened so far, what would have been the best moment to go? Like, is, you know, we always kind of think could top this one, or maybe, like, is there a moment that you, like, wish you hadn't had to live down?
Well, you know, here's one that just happened recently. If you would have asked me when I was like 12, mm-hmm. a moment where I could leave the planet and be like, what if I met Rivers Cuomo from Weezer,
right?
Or I worked with Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, which is something like I just made like a web video with him last week, and it was like very fun to meet and very exciting. But the difference between 12 and 33 is really different. So it's like, even though that was great, I'm grateful to have the opportunity. It didn't check that box. I didn't leave the Funny or Die studio ready to pass away. So I guess I'm still looking for it. I've had a few of those where you were like, I guess that just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then maybe that I shouldn't be searching harder, but then I should give up on that idea altogether.
Yeah.
Let's treat that as a word to the wise 12-year-olds. By 33, your heroes will let you down.
Hey, Rivers was a delight.
Rivers, you were good enough for 12. Now, shout out to Rivers Cuomo.
If he's hashtag your hero, Rivers Cuomo.
Hashtag Rivers Cuomo. If he's your hero, he still holds up after all these years. It's been a long time for Weezer, huh? Like, that's so. Was the Buddy Holly song, was that their introduction to the world?
Yeah.
So when was that, 90s?
That's like 94, and that music video was on the Windows 95 disc, like the CD-ROM, I think.
Wow.
And that's why that was mega popular, and everybody saw that video because it was like the first video you would have watched on a PC.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's crazy.
That was the one that had the Happy Days people, right?
Yeah.
That was a great video.
Mm-hmm. I never saw that video.
Oh, Madeline, you got to check it out.
You were on a Mac back then? Didn't have
We didn't have a computer until I was in eighth grade. So until 98, we didn't even own a computer. I had to handwrite my papers. I felt like such a loser.
I think all the computers until 98 were kind of a waste anyway, so you probably didn't miss too much. Like, you would just
I missed a lot of instant messenger flirting that could have been happening,
I think. Catch up now.
Yeah.
It's still around. I think it is still around.
I'm sure it's still around.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I think it exists.
These days, everybody's G-chatting. All day, I get a G-chat.
Your face appears here. Your face appears there. It's just going everywhere. I don't want to look at this face. But would you say that because Tim, you grew up on the East Coast, correct?
Yeah, Woodstock, New York.
Woodstock, New York, and you've lived in Los Angeles for about how long?
10 years.
Okay, you strike me as a guy who has more of sort of a California cool disposition about your health than that East Coast anxiety that New Yorkers are famous for. Right?
Is this because I was wearing sunglasses when I walked into the studio?
Wearing sunglasses.
He walked into a pitch black studio. Madeline will not allow anyone to look at her while she's recording. Tim had sunglasses on. He looked like a regular Richard Belzer.
The ultimate California
the
cool.
The ultimate California cool.
I don't know
Belzer.
Who that is. Who's that?
Is that guy from, he was on Law & Order. He was like a stand-up comedian back in the day, but he always wears.
But he got to be on Law & Order?
Yeah.
That's
he was like
the coolest.
He was a star,
He was like the original Bob Odenkirk.
He was
made
the original
that crossover
Bob
from comedy to drama. Richard Belzer.
Right. It feels like Law & Order is seeking people who are not just actors.
Yeah.
Like Ice-T, and I feel like a few of the other longtime people, they're like, we want to break him into acting with 10 years of Law & Order.
Yeah, that's very accurate. Law & Order, it's amazing that a show could survive that long without any actors on it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most of the actors are just dead bodies.
Yeah, right.
What if
that's
they
true.
Were... Well, okay, stars. Here's a pitch. Here's a pitch for whatever studio makes Law & Order. Instead of getting actors to play dead bodies, having to pay them a day rate, hop over to the morgue, get a real dead body.
That's not a bad idea.
You don't have to feed them. You don't have to.
You don't have to deal with SAG.
You don't have to deal with SAG. I mean, at least the union isn't representing a dead body.
<That's true. laughs> This is your upfronts. It's a bunch of morgue dead bodies and rappers. Laura, it's back.
Truly, how sad if you couldn't get a job because they gave it to a genuine dead body.
Madeline actually has to leave a little bit early today because she's doing casting on Law & Order these days. swing by the Cedar Sinai and
pick up some DBs.
Yeah. I am dead bodies.
IMDb. Oh, that's what it is.
One of the oldest websites of all, IMDb. Never really changed either. It's always kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
They branch out into IMDb Pro.
That's true.
If you want to pay for the same service.
That's true. Yeah. If you want to know who manages Julia Roberts, pay $99 a year.
I guess you can just book Julia Roberts to come to an event at your house.
Exactly. Yeah, that is true. Do you guys pay for IMDb Pro?
I did a free trial, and then at the end of the 30 days, I said, I don't really know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I continue to pay for it. The price keeps rising, and I just, for some reason, won't unsubscribe. Probably because I spend a lot of time just being like, I wonder who their manager is.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
It's really stupid.
You're a real industry type. You can't enjoy a movie or TV show without knowing who reps them.
I think also I'm very bad at unsubscribing from things. Yeah. I'm the target market for a free month of something because I'll never unsubscribe. I was paying $20 a month for a software called HelloSign where you can sign your documents online.
That's helpful. I've been printing them out and using Genius Scan.
But you don't, it's free for under 20 documents a month.
Yeah,
and I just, when I had my wedding, I was hello
signing
a
lot.
Signing. And so I reached the limit and then signed up for a free month and then was paying for HelloSign.
Just thought you were going to be a document person from now on.
Yeah, I was it makes sense. It's a business expense. I got to sign a lot of things.
You got me to sign up for HelloSign just last week.
I did.
How are you doing this right now?
I am such an accidental corporate shill. I'm tricked constantly.
And one of the reasons that you you might want to get into HelloSign is because your hands are a little bit too slick from all that Waxoline. If you're having a hard time signing, go online. HelloSign. That rhymed.
But Tim, so not to I keep getting sidetracked with basically
products.
Personal commercials.
Yeah.
So are you East Coast anxious or Cali cool when it comes
to
your home?
Officially on record as Cali cool.
Yeah, you're Cali cool.
Yeah. So you have a pretty relaxed can you give me an example of something that maybe you should have been alarmed about and you weren't?
Yeah, I the most obvious one would be probably a dentist visit because that's the easiest thing to ignore and then be hit with you have cavities.
Yeah.
A lot of times you could luck out and not have a disease if you don't get a physical exam.
Right.
But I'm pretty good at blowing off a dentist for a year and then him being like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, just in general, I don't like going to the doctor just because of literally the scheduling. Ben knows that I used to be I have a phobia of forms, so I should get maybe the sign thing. But the biggest problem I have is not medical; it's psychological about filling out forms, and then going to see a doctor is the time that you have to fill out forms. And I'm getting better at it because I just tell myself, "Hey, it's just writing your address over and over again." And there's a million different places to write your address. But there was a time where, if you handed me a clipboard with a piece of paper, that I would start sweating.
Yeah.
Why?
Just because I think it's 100% irrational. There's going to be information that I don't know to put on here. I guess if it was something super, if I'm at the doctor, it's an important place and my health depends on it.
Yeah.
And my worry that I would put my insurance number wrong or get wrong would then not that I'm worried that I'd actually be sick, but just that I'd be the one at fault.
Right.
Yeah. That's so it's a fear of messing up something that because it's on a form, it feels
totally.
It has a lot of weight.
And that if a doctor were to tell me, Tim, you have a disease, it would be way worse for me if he was like, Tim, you have a disease, and we could have stopped it sooner, but you didn't. You fucked up.
Right, yeah.
If you would have come to us sooner, or if you would have filled out the forms right, or if you had the right insurance, if you could have stopped, I don't want to be liable.
Right.
So that's to me, that is a little bit that I think you're partially East Coast anxious if you're a little. So there's a fear of something preventable that you couldn't that you failed to prevent.
Yeah, maybe that fear just got buried in all the kind of palm trees and sunshine of California. but maybe I'm dealing with it by saying like I've become cool as a way of coping with an actual anxiety. Interesting. What a breakthrough.
Yeah, this is
really
a real breakthrough.
Interesting. And you put all that anxiety into the forms too, which I think is like kind of
the wrong thing to be focusing. Yeah. I should worry about my body.
Oh, I love displaced anxiety. It's so interesting to me.
Tim's going through a thing where he's so stressed out all the time, he walks into pitch black rooms wearing sunglasses so he can't see the bags under his eyes.
I'm so dying stressed as we speak, and I think my shades are going to cover it up.
I mean, the thing about paperwork is, and I think it's like specific to, like, once you get to be an adult, you only have to do paperwork for things that are either really important or really cool that you want to continue to do. And I think that can be like a very stressful thing about it is that, like, okay, you get like a cool job, right? You get a job on some writing staff, and now you have to come in and you have to fill out like a big stack of paperwork to do this cool thing. And right before you get to do your cool thing, they make you do the least cool thing, which is just fill out as much paperwork as possible. And then the other example, like, which is like in the form of medical health insurance, right? That like you don't just show up at the hospital because you feel like filling out paperwork. Something bad is happening, and then they make you, before they'll do anything about the bad thing that's happening, they make you fill out an even bigger stack of paperwork. It's kind of insane. Yeah. That like when it comes to, I get to some extent that when you get a cool job, that in order to earn the cool job, you have to do one super uncool thing. But just when it comes to health insurance, just everyone should know your health insurance information at all times so that you can just be treated like a human being.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think that they can figure it out. And that's what I've learned is whether you're at the doctor or you're like doing an acting job and a PA comes up to you with a clipboard, you can fill it out wrong. You could skip whole pages, and I always do. Like, I'll sign the front page and then the back page. And then if they want me to sign something else, they'll come back. And if they don't, it means it probably wasn't important.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's great. If they highlight, that's the best. Or those stickers where you're just like, oh, I'm just bing, bang, boom.
So you say that, but so I have two examples of a form error that made a difference. Like, this isn't a mega example, but like a couple years ago, I started getting calls from a collections agency in North Carolina, like saying that like I owed medical bills, and it was not a hospital that I'd ever attended. And it was like, but it was confusing because I once lived in North Carolina. So I like thought it was somehow connected to me. And then they turned out to be the medical bills of like an elderly lady with a similar name to me.
Whoa.
Who had recently passed away.
Whoa.
And like they just, I guess someone like didn't fill out the form correctly, and I was getting this North Carolina old lady's medical bill.
Right, and we've discussed this before that there are like virtually no Madelines over that are in between the ages of 4 and 90.
Yeah.
That it's like Madeline's the only one that is looped, and Madeline was like in the middle, or Madeline time traveled from either the future or the past, and just came here to be like a very unique form of Madeline.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I would assume if a Madeline that a Madeline was either going to be, it would either have recently died or was recently born.
Yeah.
As opposed to you.
Old lady or a baby.
Yeah.
One or the other.
That's one of the games that we're going to play on this podcast.
Old lady or a baby.
It turned out to be very easy, so we might skip it. But.
Yeah. I mean, if visually looking, you can tell. It's easy.
I knew we should have left out the visual part of the thing. And also their birth certificate. I don't think we should be able to look at the birth certificate.
Tim, what's the sickest you've ever been?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a good question. I feel like I've never had anything. I have, knock on wood. Thank you. I've never had anything life threatening. So I've just had like different, you know, bouts of like, oh boy, I had the flu so bad that I was delirious for a few days.
Yeah.
And I had one of those about like a year ago. I had a really intense 24-hour something where I was like delirious and in bed. And I thought that my bed, speaking of East Coast anxiety, I had this visual that my bed was Cape Cod. I'm laying on my bed At the time, I hadn't even been to Cape Cod. I since went and saw that this is not, it's nothing like my Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Good to know. Good to know.
I think what brought this on is I have a convertible car, and I had been driving it with the top down in winter, and sometimes I'll shower and get right in there with wet hair. So mm-hmm. I'm the type, so I'm putting myself at risk here.
You are.
Yes.
And then, yeah, friends pointed out, like, you should stop doing that. So this is maybe why I got like a really intense 24-hour thing. Anyway, I'm laying in my bed, delirious.
Too Cali cool, it made you sick. Yeah.
I know, it's really
bit
me in the
ass. Driving with wet hair in your convertible. Yeah,
when you're driving by the beach in your convertible, it's going to make you sick.
You're giving me East Coast anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah, if I try to do it on the East Coast, they won't have it. They come dry my hair, put a hat on me. I was laying in my bed for 24 hours thinking that if I, you know how Cape Cod is like a narrowish strip of land.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I thought that if I tipped too far to the left, I would fall into the bay. And if I tipped too far to the right, I would fall into the Atlantic Ocean. And this was the thought in my head that I was laying in bed and I had to stay perfectly still and look up at the ceiling, because if I rolled over, then I was going to fall into the water on either side of my bed. And it was... And it just kept this was like a thought. It wasn't like I was sleeping. I was like awake. I get up, I go to the bathroom, and have some chicken soup, and then back into bed. Be like, okay, better not fall into the water.
You need cod. You're on Cape Cod.
Yeah,
I love how geographically accurate your delirium was too.
It was specific. I don't know what put Cape Cod in my head, but it was that narrow strip of land that hooks up. And I was like, but I always have that. I had one time had food poisoning. And I had this, I was delirious in bed, and I thought that my head was lower than the rest of my body and that my blood was like running to my head. So there's a lot of issues with my bed placement and where my body is on my bed. That's my main hang up.
So sickness turns you kind of into an insane person.
I don't think I sound too California cool anymore.
You really
don't. The image of my sunglasses has worn off by now.
So these sunglasses are mine now.
Yeah, you can keep them.
Okay. So when you do get sick, how do you approach it? What's your regimen?
Well, I've got a patented system called Sweat It Out.
Oh, wow. Damn, tell us about Sweat It Out.
Well, everybody in LA probably already knows about Sweat It Out, because I'm always talking about it and recommending it. This is back to the California cool.
Yeah, this is maybe the coolest.
And this works. So if you're listening, take notes. I haven't been, other than the Cape Cod incident, I don't really get sick. I'm a fairly healthy guy, and I'm not like just one of those people who's like sniffling through the winter or anything. I'm like a healthy human. But if I do feel, you know, the feeling of like, oh, I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah.
In that moment. On that day, I'll do this thing where I put on several pairs of socks, several pairs of sweatpants, winter coat, winter hat, gloves, turn up the heat in my apartment. And then the real caper is this. I'll eat some really hot food, like you get some like ramen or pho or something with like sriracha.
Like the Thai, what do you call the, what's that, the lemongrass one that the
yeah
ties.
Yeah vermicelli that type
oh,
of thing
oh yeah no oh, sorry Fo. Go on sorry yeah
Fo
okay
to
yeah
the layman
no I was thinking of what's that Thai soup that
boat noodle
I don't know, it'll come to me.
Pa? Oh, you can get it at next door at Pot Ord. Noodle, it's
what's it called?
Tom yum
thank you. Yes,
tom
yes.
Ka is tom like ka. A lemony one. Tom Yum is the coconut one, maybe.
Okay.
Perfect. Those are perfect examples. And you have to have it so it's both temperature hot, but then also spicy. So you put like sriracha or whatever in it. And then I guess if I had a sauna in my house or a steam room, I wouldn't have to do this. But I will.
It's the poor man's sauna.
Yeah, it's like if you're at a resort, you know, that luxurious feeling that you have.
Sure.
I have that when I'm sweating in my apartment. Yeah.
Well, you paid all this money to go to Cape Cod.
I was really there? Holy shit. I thought that was...
Jessica brought your bed.
I thought that was the flu, but it was a nice vacation.
Yeah.
If you eat the soup when it's piping hot and you just... sweat and sweat and sweat for like 2 hours, take a hot shower, dry off, go to bed. And it's very important to sleep dry, because if you don't sleep dry, you're gonna die. That's the other thing. Sweat it out. I did one time like go to bed in my sweaty attire and woke up in the middle of the night and all the sweat had gotten cold on me.
Oh, no, it's the worst.
So you don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's how kind of how you got sick in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah.
That led to the Cape Cod incident. The wet hair in the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that's how I get sick is just being wet.
Properly drying.
Soaking wet and go driving in a convertible in the winter and then you hole up in your hot California apartment and just drip the actually
Am
this kind of makes sense.
I'm normal.
Sweat it out, ladies and gentlemen. Sweat it out.
So that has worked for me is like a 2 hour sweating like hot soup, faces like red and sniffly in winter clothes in a hot apartment for 2 hours, shower, dry off, go to bed. Next day you feel fantastic.
Wow. That's I believe it.
Yeah,
it works.
I believe it too.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a friend who's a scientist, one of my best friends from high school. He said, no possible way. No way in hell. he studied epidemiology, and he would know, but I'm still fighting with him about this.
Yeah.
Well, I have a kind of speaking to your wet hair convertible concern. I have a friend who's a doctor who's been on this podcast, Dr. Laura, she told me that going out with wet hair doesn't make you sick.
Whoa.
Yeah. She said it's more just like, you know, if like going out, I think sometimes having like being right out of the shower, your pores are more open. So if your like head is like hot and wet and you're around a lot of germs, maybe you could get germs more. But she was like, no, going out with wet hair, that's a myth.
Matter if you're cold? Like if you're out in the winter and you don't have a winter hat, are you going to get sick?
I mean, Dr. Laura is saying no.
Well, maybe she was saying it's more an issue of just being cold. Right, maybe it was just like if you let yourself be cold for too long, you'll get sick. I don't remember the details.
There's a general lowering of your
but I think she was saying like specifically having wet hair doesn't.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that because now I can do away with the sleep dry or die thing. can sleep wet. Folks, sleep wet.
Sleep wet.
Sweat it out and sleep wet.
Yeah. Now, I think, but I've definitely heard that same, and not speaking to the specifics of the wet hair, but that, there are those people that just say, no, germs are what make you sick.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
these, like, environmental conditions, what they can do is they can weaken your immune system so that you're more prone to the germs.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We asked Dr. Laura, well, what does make you sick? And her answer was appearing on this podcast. So,
it's because you guys are sick
exactly.
in the head.
Exactly.
I have a question about sweat it out. Do you think something, physiological is happening to you, or do you think it's such a powerful sort of placebo that just like convincing yourself that this is fixing your sickness is actually fixing it?
I can answer with authority that it's physiological. I don't want to admit that it's a placebo.
But a placebo is like real. Like I listened to a really interesting podcast about placebos. I think it was like a radio lab from years ago. But
interesting. Another podcast.
I know. I mean, just kidding. It was this podcast. It's the only podcast.
It came from me.
but like a placebo, basically like medicine just activates a part of your brain. Like, and to relieve pain or to relieve a symptom of something. And a placebo can literally activate the same part of your brain if you believe that's what's happening.
Wow.
So it's just less reliable than medicine.
Yeah.
But it's not that the same effect isn't actually happening
right.
due to a placebo effect. So I think it's like placebo sort of gets a bad rap as being fake when in reality a lot it's real shit.
Just calming down makes you remember when Madeline took me to the hospital when I thought that someone had punched my throat in and I thought they gave me medicine, and it turned out that they had just given me oxygen, and I was just breathing again because it turned out I had stopped breathing while I thought that people had been punching me in the throat so many times over and over again.
Yeah. He was like, oh, that medicine really works.
Yeah, and they were like, we haven't started the medicine yet. And that was when we determined I didn't need a CAT scan, which was great,
But it is, I think, you had when your throat was closed, you had so many things fail you that I think like the comfort of like, oh, a doctor is giving me medicine. Because we were at that bar somewhere in like Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to get you to drink. I was like, ooh, how about this? And you're like, Tim, you suggesting things is worse than my affliction. And then the bartender was like, we could get you some soup. We could get you some this. And, we could get... and it was just like, you know, when you have too much attention on you and you're just like, this is worse.
Yes. To give some context to this story, because it's a very happy one. Last year on my birthday, I was incapable of swallowing solid food. So I went and stayed in a hotel in a very nice hotel in Beverly Hills, and I invited Tim and his wonderful fiance Jessica Jardin to come to the hotel and eat food in front of me so I could smell it.
And it was really good food. Yeah, we're having like shrimp and chicken satay.
It was
saddest birthday. That's objectively the saddest birthday I can imagine.
And I never returned to the apartment that I lived in before that again. I just went there. Because we talked about this, Madeline, remember? Because I went home on May 11th and packed up my things, and I moved out to Pasadena to stay with my aunt and uncle. And we found out just this week that May 11th is esophageal swallowing day or something like that. Like, and it wasn't even in honor of me, because I mean, I assumed I was the center of the esophageal universe. No,
it's just coincidentally the same day you left your whole life behind.
We should go back to that restaurant though, because I remember they did like they did Canadian Indian fusion, like so they had like an Indian poutine dish.
I don't remember the name of that place either. It was very unassuming. It was sort of boutique-y. Yeah.
And I don't know the hotel's name either.
But yeah, there was like a tikka masala poutine that I was like having a field day with. It was the best Ben birthday of my life, because I was just eating delicious food.
I had just a wonderful strained vegetable soup. We got just the broth in there.
We did settle on, you drank some V8 and it did, and you were happy with it. And then we felt like, okay, he can live.
As good as a birthday can get, I had a little V8. Then we walked to a CVS and I bought a humidifier. I think this was my 90th birthday.
Bringing it back around to Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, I saw them play a show the other day at the Troubadour. And, you know, they're in their mid to late 40s now, but still like rocking out to a young audience. And then At the Troubadour, after the show, they went up backstage, and there's like you can see through windows to the backstage hang zone, and there were curtains closed, so you couldn't see what the band was up to. But through a crack in the curtain, we could see our humidifier. they finished their like alt rock concert and walked up to their humidifier. And that's what they do, and that's why the curtains were closed. Not because they wanted privacy, because they were doing drugs, but because it was a humidifier. So you're in good company.
Nice.
Moist air.
Matt Sharp recommends VapoRub. That is a Weezer person's name, right?
Former Weezer person.
Oh,
not
damn
it! Anymore?
He's been out for 20 years.
Oh, no.
He's been pushing VapoRub.
That's great, Tim. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you for
having
me. It
was really excellent to have you.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my sunglasses on as I leave.
Absolutely.
Put on those sunglasses. Reclaim my image.
And ladies and gentlemen, sweat it out and let us know how you feel about it. If you're sick right now, try Tim's sweat it out method.
Sweat it out, folks. It always works.
It always works.
And now you can sleep wet.
Yeah.
New development.
Send us a tweet. We're at Definitely Dying on Twitter. Tim is at Tim Kalpakis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know how it works for you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting that Tim was talking about his like fears about going to the dentist. Because Ben, you're kind of the opposite. You love the dentist.
I am all about the dentist.
So tell me, or I mean, I guess I know, but tell our listeners a little bit about why you consider yourself kind of a layman's dental expert.
There's nothing layman about me. Let's start with that. I'm a full-fledged expert. I'm an amateur expert. Let's call myself an amateur expert. Because here's why I'm an amateur expert. It's because when somebody tells me to do something involving my mouth and my teeth and my tongue and my dental cavity, I think that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a mouth.
Thank you. My mouth hole. When somebody gives me a recommendation for my mouth hole, I take it and I double it.
Well, great. So to that point, we asked listeners of this podcast to hit us up on social media and ask us their dental questions.
Right.
to give to Ben as an amateur dental expert so he can solve their problems on the air.
And I'll more or less answer on behalf of my best friend, Dr. Donahue, my dentist. Am I her best friend? Next question.
Nobody asked you that question. Oh, I guess you asked yourself.
Next question.
Okay. So our first question comes from Sterling, writing to us from Evanston, Illinois. And he asked, is it true that having lots of dental work can put you at greater risk for heart attacks?
Excellent question, Sterling. The answer is yes, but also the answer is no. The answer is yes because, if you're having a lot of medical procedures of any sort, anything that's going to result in an excessive amount of bleeding, anything that's going to result in some damage to your soft tissue, it does. It puts you at a greater risk for heart attacks. That said, does actually having work on your mouth lead to more heart attacks? No, no. In the same way that you wouldn't say that menthol cigarettes put you at a greater risk of lung cancer, you would just say cigarettes do. That if you're going to have a lot of medical procedures, if you're going to have a lot of work done on your person, you're probably more likely to have heart attack.
So dental surgery is the menthol of surgery.
Exactly, exactly. It's maybe a little bit more because there's more soft tissue going on in your mouth, but no. I mean, to answer the heart of your question, Sterling, you need to go see a dentist immediately and get whatever you're worried about getting taken care of, taken care of. I recommend Dr. Donahue, except that you're nowhere near Dr. Donahue, and I don't think she'll make that. I don't think she'll make that house call. I know for a fact she will not make house calls to me. Am I her best friend? Next question.
Okay, so next question. This comes from Stephen from New York.
Stephen, hi.
Stephen writes, I guess my question, since I feel like my body is falling apart ever since working in the real world, is I had a root canal on my lower right second molar. Mm-hmm. Is it better to put a crown on it or get it pulled? Something about leaving dead things in our bodies being toxic creeps me out.
I guess I'll start by saying, I guess my question, Stephen. Show some respect. You're talking to an actual amateur dentist.
Well, it's a casual forum.
And what I'm saying is
he didn't write us a letter. So.
I'm saying casual. I don't know. I feel like maybe.
Stephen, in my book, you can be as casual as you want because Ben is not a dentist.
And that's why Madeline's not a dentist.
That's not why I'm not a dentist.
That's the number one reason you're not a dentist.
There are many reasons I'm
you're
not a dentist.
You're too chill about it.
Yeah, I'm not chill about anything. I'm just not a dentist because that is not my calling.
We'll see. What was the question again? Maybe to paraphrase.
I was reading it. To paraphrase, Stephen wants to know, he had a root canal on one of his molars, and he wants to know, is it better to put a crown on it or get it pulled? His concern about putting a crown on it being it feels weird to leave a dead thing
sure,
in his body.
Sure, sure.
He doesn't want to leave
that.
His dead tooth. In his living
right.
body.
Sure, sure. So I guess that begs the question then, why did you bother to get the root canal in your tooth then, Stephen? If you're going to have the thing pulled, you should have had it pulled before you spent the money on the root canal. And if you're going to go to the trouble to get the tooth in a position where it isn't going to infect your mouth, then I say put a cap/crown on it, you know?
Great. That's right. That's a frugal piece of advice.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
When your car,
That's
if
right.
you're going to put money into fixing your car, don't just put a little more money into really fixing it
exactly.
instead of just selling
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Exactly. You don't go to the trouble to put a new tire on a clunker.
No.
You're going to throw that thing away or you're going to do the work. A shorter answer, should you put a crown on it? Yes, queen.
Yeah.
Next question.
The next question comes from Hart from Colorado.
Hi, Hart.
And he just wrote to us, can I do my own fillings?
Oh, that's a good question. Short answer right back at you, Hart. Hell yeah, buddy.
But no.
Yeah, boy.
No. You just – no.
Ow.
No. Excuse – you're – giving a party, the universal party sound to someone doing their own fillings?
Hurt, 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 hurt.
I have to, everybody continue to listen to this very entertaining podcast simply as entertainment. Do not do your own fillings. That's insane.
Look,
how would you even do that? Shoot a bunch of met. I guess.
No, see, that's why my man Hart can get on this practice all by himself. Back in the day when they did put those metal fillings in your mouth, oh no, no, he'd get some sort of septic. Is that a thing that can happen? I don't know. But nowadays, when you're just putting in some filling, any filling you got around the house, just fill it up.
Any fill, like what? Any like a filling. Piece of gum?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
like,
if you got gum,
this is insane.
Would you have pie filling?
This is, you know what? This
Hart.
Is insane.
Hart.
This is.
Hart.
I'm gonna. I think this segment is Hart. Over because this advice has ceased to be useful to anybody.
Yeah, boy. Hart, me and you.
Okay.
Home dentistry.
Don't heed any of this advice. The first two pieces of advice sounded very legit, but you discredited it with your behavior in the last minute.
Those of us who are familiar with those commercials involving dentists know 2 out of 3 dentists are all it takes to agree, and that's what. And then you buy that toothpaste. What I'm saying is, look, if you liked 2/3 of my advice, I'm a dentist. Thanks. This has been the dentist segment. Before Madeline can say anything else.
Oh my God.
Thanks so much to our guest, Tim Kalpakis.
Thank you, and my apologies to our listeners who wrote in with dental questions.
And an extra, extra special thank you to our guest dentist, me.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter @DefinitelyDying, and until next time, stay healthy.